Welcome to Postcast. The Utah Jazz defeat the Denver Nuggets 109-105 and what can only be called an early season signature win for the Jazz, who've now won five straight. Donovan Mitchell struggles tonight but comes through in the clutch. The Jazz shut down Jamal Murray in the second half after a monster first half. Nikola Jokic is just Larry Bird. He's just 7 feet tall, and the Jazz find a way to muster through this one and get the win. A bunch of twists and turns and thoughts and comments, and it's all coming up as the Jazz beat the Nuggets tonight by the final score of 109-105. It is Postcast. Hi, I'm David Locke. We are live on Twitch. We are live on Facebook. We are live on Periscope, and we are live on YouTube on Locked On Live and Locked On Sports on Periscope. The chat room is open for you. We want to hear your comments and your thoughts over the Jazz 109-105 win over the Denver Nuggets. I'll call it the best win of the year. I know they've beat the Bucks and the Clippers, who are arguably better teams, but Denver causes us an awful lot of problems. I thought Denver took the game from Utah late in the second quarter, and the Jazz got it back with some hustle plays in the third and some energy plays in the third. Denver was crashing the glass to the tune of 23 offensive rebounds tonight, and the Jazz had to fight through that. So there's nothing easy about this. It's a tough matchup first. Jokic is the hardest matchup the Jazz can have for Rudy Gobert. And Jokic's defense has gotten way, way better. They came in having won three of their last four, five of their last seven. We'd won four in a row. So to me, this is the best win of the year by the Utah Jazz as they, you know, really showed grit and a tough matchup. Milwaukee's a win that we can just get because we shoot it so well. That's, you know, that's the game we play, is that we just shoot it that well against Milwaukee and we're able to pull that off. But against Denver and the Clippers, we've always just played well. Rudy causes, you know, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard huge problems. This is just a matchup that's hard for us, right? Jamal Murray goes off for 24 in the first half. Jokic is picking and popping and getting it to mid, that little 12-footer and shooting over the top of Rudy. They're very, very difficult for us, and they frankly have seen us so many times that some of the unique things that we do are not unique to them. Quinn Snyder pulled off a really cool move or two late in the game, bringing a play that they usually run in the paint where they bring a second back pick on the dropping big and freed Mike Conley for a layup and also got a foul on Jokic late in the game. So lots of different things to that. Those are my thoughts on it. Jordan Clarkson's 23 was mammoth. Donovan Mitchell fought through it late. Mike Conley's first quarter was terrific. And Bojan Bogdanović links his third straight good game for the Jazz. Quick numbers for you tonight. The Jazz offensive rating was a 121 and the defensive rating was a 116. So despite the fact this was a low scoring game, it was an incredibly slow piece of play game. We played just 90 possessions. The Jazz did not have a fast break point in the second half. This had to become a half court grinder of a ball game by the end of it. By the way, the most offensive rebounds the Jazz have allowed in a game since February 21st of 2016. In which the Jazz allowed to the Portland Trailblazers 23. The most offensive rebounds that equaled that. The other one would be against Sacramento in 2012. So the offensive glass was certainly an issue tonight. All right, let's get to your comments and your questions. Let's start with Connor Thomas, who joins us from Facebook. Tough, grit, grind, win. Mike brought some magic from Memphis tonight. Mike was good. Really, really good conducting the game late. Donovan got frazzled, had back-to-back turnovers, and to have Mike there as another option was big. About to give that one away, but didn't break. The free throw shooting late was a little tough, Paul. No question. Jazz had this one wrapped up, missed four straight free throws. Then Royce O'Neal, who had not taken a free throw in the final 2 minutes of a close game since his rookie year, and those are the only two he's taken at any point in his career, buried both those two free throws to make it. Let's go to Daniel. Good win. When we don't even play that well. Too many turnovers, way too many missed free throws, but got the win. I really disagree with you on this one, Daniel. First of all, it was not a particularly good defensive game. Daniel, I got to be honest, you and I are in a totally different spot on this. I think there's a tendency, and I understand why you feel this way, but there's a tendency to think that you didn't play well because the other guys are really damn good. So Denver's really, really good. And so we're going to look like we played way better against Cleveland or Detroit, but we played pretty well tonight. They're good. Like, I thought we saw all of our strengths. I thought we saw all of our weaknesses. That was my comment going into the fourth quarter, was like, this game's a great representation of what we do well, a great representation of what we don't very well, and we're up by, I think we were up by two, and let's see how it plays out, and they got them in. This is a bona fide big-time win tonight, and being 9-4 is a bona fide big-time start. Five straight wins, including wins over three bad teams in Atlanta, Detroit, and Cleveland, and two good teams in Milwaukee and the Denver Nuggets, and both of those on the road, which doesn't really matter this year the same way. So I agree with the one part of that, Daniel. It's a good win. I thought we played pretty well. Donovan was off, but part of our system is that we can play different guys, and Donovan being off can freeze other guys. The defensive rebounding wasn't great, but that's because they're good, and they came after us. So I give them a lot of credit, too, and Jokic is just unbelievable. David, I know you're normally frowned upon the floater, but Conley's floater seems to be solid. What are your thoughts? He's not going to the rim at all anymore, so that's kind of what he's left with. He's also slowed his drive to the basket to be able to find Rudy a little bit more. So in that sense, that's what's allowing him. Going into tonight, he's shooting 54% on that floater, and he's only shooting 48% at the rim. So it's probably better at this point for him to do that. He's just, I think, at his age and his size, the rim is a complicated spot for him right now, and he's slowing up. I also don't know that he's going to be able to shoot 54% on that for the rest of the year. That's probably the hardest part. Let's go to Benjamin. Relentless effort tonight, mentally tough as nails. They fought, and they didn't break tonight. They've broken some other times this year where I think we all had a little bit more play hard that we wanted out of him, and we didn't get it. Damon's got the question of the night, and I don't have the answer, Damon. Second half adjustment on Murray. Honestly, it's really hard sometimes calling the game to see that, and I hate to say this, but if Ron said it, I wasn't listening well enough, which just happens. So just don't tell Ron I ever said that. So I don't know. I think there's two things. I think Murray got tired. They played him 42 minutes, which is more minutes he's played in any game other than the overtime game against Dallas. So I think that was part of it. I thought he was noticeably fatigued. I don't know what they did, but he got cooking in the second quarter, and they stopped him. So my bad. I don't have that one. Those stretches of turnovers give maximum stress. Yes. However, the Jazz only had six live ball turnovers tonight. So the turnovers tonight are not that big a deal. And in fact, I would argue the turnovers tonight are not a big deal because our offensive rating was a 121. Like, your offensive rating is a 121. You just kind of take what comes with it. What an amazing job by the bench. Oney played his best game. He might have. He just plays really hard with a lot of energy. He brings the juice to the floor, something I'd criticized us for earlier this year of not having that. I thought they did that. Michael says 1,000 free throws each next practice. Good win for the Jazz. Way to pull it out. Well, there's two theories on this. One is you don't make a big deal out of it and you don't want to say anything to them. The other is you make them all sit there and shoot free throws. Who knows? But Mike Conley, kind of strange to watch him miss four straight. Rudy's obviously scuffling. If Donovan continues to close big games like this, I think we're real contenders, says Andy. We'll see. I mean, I do think the Clippers and Lakers are better than we are right now, but we've established ourselves as the next team in the pecking order along with Phoenix. Why does Donovan have trouble doing what he does best sometimes and disappear, which in my opinion is being the engine of our offense, driving and kicking and relocating for catch and shoot threes? Well, he's not a natural point guard, so he's still learning all of that. I do agree that he's a catch and shoot three guy, and playing off the ball and in tempo and early offense would help him a great deal. He is an unbelievable catch and shoot guy. He did not have his legs tonight. He's given a lot in the last few games. You know, he's like great players have bad games. Like, I know we don't remember this, but like, I could go find plenty of Stockton Malone box scores that aren't pretty, right? They didn't actually, Karl Malone did not actually average 25 and 10. He didn't give you 25 and 10 every night. Like, Donovan in his last five games coming into this game was averaging 26 points, shooting 48% from the field and 48% from three. Like, he's not doing that so he had a bad night tonight. Like, we got to understand that, like, these guys do it. Ainsley says, awesome team win. Nice to see George active. Oney on defense really got awesome. George Niang, three straight games in double figures. Why does switching and high hedge defense on our pick and roll cause us such difficulty? So if we can get off the ball quickly enough and continue to move it, it shouldn't cause us that kind of difficulty. But if we dribble out of it and then reset out of it and try to get a switch out of it, it does. And then if they start to anticipate the passing and they're really, really active and flying around like Denver was, they can get back into those passing lanes and cause us some difficulty. So I think that's probably the biggest answer on that. Joshua Scott, they are missing a third scorer and really miss Jeremy Grant, who went to Detroit. I do think they're missing a third scorer who's got to be Michael Porter Jr. for them, but Michael Porter Jr. has been hard for them to integrate. They were 1-3 to start with him. Then he's been out. But the fact they had to play Murray 42 and Jokic 40 tonight, to me, is a little bothersome. And so, to me, that's, you know, I just keep an eye on that. Will Oney become a big part of the Jazz future? I mean, he's a nice piece, and we pay enough money to our stars. You got to have some cheap pieces. And he's going to be able to play when Conley's out, Donovan's out, Jordan's out, Royce is out. Niang's he'll Boyan, he'll be able to play all those minutes. So he'll keep getting time and getting minutes. Ingles is out on that. So I think, you know, he'll do that. But a big piece of the Jazz future, I mean, he's Royce O'Neal type player. So yeah, maybe if that's what you call a big piece. All right, great show. Thanks for all the questions today. Super appreciate it. We'll get back to you on I don't know what today is. Sunday, Tuesday we're home. Long homestand coming up. We'll see if the Jazz can take advantage. Good win for the Jazz. By the way, little note, we always complain about the schedule. I'll give one for you. I think the Washington cancellation gave the Jazz both these last two wins. There's my last thought for you.